And Shades of Green welcomes you today here on Campus FM 103.7, and this is the only program that shaves you all the shades of our environment. I will remind you that this program is broadcast for you every Tuesday at 14:30 with a repeat on Fridays at 20:00. Well, last week we spoke about work being currently done concerning Malta's marine life, and today we stay on land and talk a bit about agriculture. So good day to you all, I hope you're all feeling fine. This is Vanessa as always, and as always I thank you for your listenership and for staying there with us as we discuss so many issues with our guests. And of course I want to welcome our guest for today, who is Dr. Charles Gregg from the Institute of Agriculture here at the University of Malta. He's by profession a forester, a must jar, he told me to tell you. So there you are, wherever you are, stay tuned with us to find out more about the state of our local agriculture. And Dr. Gregg, good day to you and welcome on this program. I would like to start, Dr. Gregg, by asking you something about your field of interest.
Thank you very much, Vanessa. It's a pleasure to be here on Campus FM, and welcome to our students and our listeners. Well, I'm a forester by profession. I've been teaching. I'm a teacher also. Indeed, I'm a member of the Malta Union of Teachers, and so I'm part of the teaching trade, teaching profession. Well, I'm a forester in a country which has, well, we have about 80 to 90 different pieces of forest, which is a lot of work for government foresters, which we don't have, and other people who are concerned with the profession. I've read my doctorate in the forest history of Malta and the impact of man, his animals, and his agricultural practices on Malta's forest resources over the millennia. And, of course, I would like to see a few more trees being planted in this land, just to say the least.
Don't we all.
But sometimes it's so slow, it's a process that is so slow, and it's only in the last few years that things have been moving again. So it is a process, it's a historical process. Hopefully, as we grow and we mature as a nation, we have to remember that we have only been independent for 40 years, so there's a process of maturation of a land. We have to pass on the message that this is a Mediterranean island, and the Mediterranean islands are actually green islands which are forested. The reason why they are not forested is true. And the use of the land for building, for agriculture, and of course, the most insidious of all, is the grazing of animals, because they stop natural regeneration of trees, plants, shrubs, and of course, the greenery, the vegetation, forms the basis upon which the trophic levels are built upon.
So I think I had a misconception here. So I thought that Malta was quite barren as an island. It wasn't meant to be barren. I mean, there were times when Malta was green.
Yes, of course, there were times when Malta was green, although the climate was different. But given current climatic conditions today, with our rainfall, with our weather, Malta should be, naturally, forested coast to coast. Mm. You will only find very exposed areas like the top of Verdum areas, mm-hmm. and other areas where, for instance, it's too saline. Mm-hmm. For instance, the saline lakes we have, which will not be forest of some sort.
Of course,
they will not be forest as we understand it in Northern Europe, and they will neither be forest of palm trees. Uh-huh. We're somewhere in between. But yes, given our climatic conditions, Malta would return to forest within a very, very, very short time. I would predict that within 40, 50 years, if we had to get all the Maltese and all the people living on this island off this island, we'd be green. We cannot do that. We have to find compromises. Agriculture is important. It's part of our cultural landscape. We have to live in a society where we enjoy these islands, so we have to strike a balance.
Yes.
There are many opportunities in this island for greening the area, greening the country. I know the government at the moment is carrying out some projects, like the Foresta El Fain project at Melliha, and there are another 13 sites which are proposed. Most of them are actually the expansion or the recreation of what was done in the late 60s and early 70s. During the 70s, we had a huge influx of a huge program of afforestation. They used the wrong trees, but it was well intended, at least. Nowadays, we hope that we are a bit more better informed, and so we will try not to make the mistakes of the past. One learns on one's experience, of course.
Well, okay. Actually, this is really, really interesting. But, okay, sometimes you find out people that the first thing when you ask them, well, first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word agriculture, well, that first thing is a farmer, his fields or her fields, and it's a traditional handover from generation to generation. But, okay, this might be correct, but what other aspects are there within agriculture?
First of all, agriculture is a very, very, very broad field. It is one of the applied sciences, but which science? Mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine who's an MSc graduate, and she is a soil scientist. I've got a friend of mine who is an entomologist. He's a specialist. He holds a doctorate, and he's a insect expert. I'm a forester myself. There are others who are, for instance, you can be an architect and be specialize in agricultural subjects. At university, I lecture on agribusiness and agri-economics. And if it doesn't turn a profit, don't do it. This is what I have to teach my students. And so agriculture is so vast. Uh-huh. You could be a lawyer who would specialize in agriculture, in the agricultural field.
Yes.
You could be an economist. But then let's go to the brass tacks of agriculture. Agriculture in Malta has been, in part left to its own resources, in part a bit cuddled a bit, too much, wrapped in cotton wool. And it's been wrapped in cotton wool since around about 1903. When the Department of Agriculture came. It was always well-meaning, mm-hmm. but they were too protected. For instance, we have the rent laws, which are damaging progress in agriculture. Why? Because if I own land, which has been rented out by my great-grandfather to your great-grandfather for, say, 10 cents a tumulo, so be it today and for the next 50 years. Till eternity.
Yes.
So we need to change our rent laws. Why? Because we have people who want to enter
into
the sector and cannot, and people who don't want to be in the sector and have to be. Secondly, the idea of a farmer, as somebody who is a farmer, first of all, is a very hard-working and intelligent person.
Yes.
And we must distinguish between farmer and farmer. The professional farmer is somebody who keeps records, somebody who's up to date, somebody who applies the correct amount of fertilizer to his particular field in his particular site. Why? Because each field has a microclimate. And within that field, you have different microclimates. And you have different crops which you plant and which you rotate, different pests. A wise farmer would create what are known as set aside. Only this morning, I've been speaking to the Director General of Agriculture, and they are setting up set aside. I have been telling my students about set aside for the past 6 or 7 years. And I've had students who come from a traditional background. What? I waste my land. Oh, no, you're not wasting your land. It's the place where your ladybird finds a refuge, so that once the spray that you've used, if you've overdone it, wears off, that ladybird is able to replicate itself, to reproduce, and by reproducing it will move outwards to colonize your field and so keep your aphid population down.
Yes.
It's very important that farmers are educated. And this is one way, this is the direction that we have to follow. Farming is an industry just like any other industry, and it has to be up to date. The time when somebody sows a field to wheat, just to say, I've worked it, must stop, will stop.
It's a
process.
Purpose.
It is a process.
And apart from that, when we speak about, for example, agriculture, which belongs to the land, because we're speaking about the land here, it is still divided into various other segments, right?
Yes. Agriculture is a very wide field indeed. Let me give you a few examples. First of all, what is agriculture? FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, defines agriculture as the produce of land, whatever it may be. So, it could be as far apart as somebody who is in forestry. Mm-hmm. We grow trees to cut them down, produce furniture, mm-hmm. and replant. Mm-hmm. It has to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And you can grow fish. You can farm the oceans by collecting the fish. And sometimes we have to make decisions. And we tell people, I'm sorry, mate, you are not going to farm, you're not going to fish in this zone for, say, 6-7 years. Why? Because we need the stocks to replenish themselves. Yeah. Then you've got, those are the two extremes, if I mm-hmm. may take them. Mm-hmm. Forestry, which is a very long crop. Mm-hmm. In forestry, we like to joke that I plant for another age, that another age may prosper, because I will not live to see the trees that I plant today yeah. in their full glory. It's impossible.
Of course.
Unless you're somebody who's just been just graduated at something like 2023, he'll be an old man
and
when
he'll
be.
Exactly, you'll live to be an 80.
But it's amazing. Trees grow very fast, relatively very fast. So then you have all the fields in between. So you have the two main, in Malta, we have two main branches of mm-hmm. agriculture. One of them is crop husbandry, and one of them is animal husbandry. Animal husbandry produces meat and milk and meat products, whilst crop husbandry produces a whole range of products. And there are different specializations within the field. It is not just agriculture growing something within a field, but what am I going to crop to grow? Agriculture could be friendly to nature. I'll give you an example. You could grow, for instance, wildflowers in a field specifically. Not you go out into the woodland or maki or garrig to collect, but you grow them in a field specifically. Take narcissus. I strongly disagree with those who go and cut narcissus out in the countryside.
Yes.
But on the other hand, you could grow narcissus like carnations in a field. You're stabilizing the soil and you can harvest the flowers. If you've grown it specifically to harvest it, then it's okay. So there is floriculture, the growing of flowers. We do have floriculture. Usually it's done in greenhouses. Something that should be done and should be encouraged. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Secondly, viticulture. Traditionally, or shall I say historically, Malta during the Roman period grew its own vines.
Yes.
And we also had our own olives, because the vine, the olive and the fig are the traditional crops of Mediterranean cuisine and the Mediterranean farmland. Unfortunately, we passed through the Arab period, and the Arabs who came to Malta were less developed culturally than the Arabs of Sevilla and Granada. What would you send? What did the British send to Australia to start off the population? It was a penal colony. So you get the less cultured people. Not bad, less cultured.
Yes.
So we lost our viticulture due to the Arabic period, when due to Islamic influence you would not grow vines for wine.
Yes.
So nowadays we're reintroducing viticulture. I know that the Department of Agriculture is actually carrying out research to find the genotype of our traditional vine crops. Why? Because we Europeans, within the European Union, we go for quality in food. So it's champagne from Champagne, and it's French wine, Rioja, I think it's called Rioja.
Rioja,
if anybody speaks Spanish, I excuse myself. My Spanish is, and I know there is a Redzina from Greece. So if it's Redzina, it can't come from Malta, it comes from Greece.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you grow it here, it has to be Maltese wine.
Yes.
And you sell the name.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
So that's floriculture, viticulture. But there is also horticulture. I'm sure many people, everybody uses our public areas, and we do see a lot of flowers beneath trees being planted on our roundabouts. I have my own professional opinion about that, and whether it is a wise use of public funds. It's good work. I cannot say it's bad work, but I question sometimes the use of certain cash resources to plant a plant and plant a tree, I would go for planting a few more trees and a few less flowers. But of course, we need the flowers. And that goes under horticulture, the managing of gardens. And in Malta, we need horticulture a lot because we have so few people who are in horticulture, who are professionally within horticulture.
Garden landscaping, for example.
If I tell you that we have had to import two or three people who are foreigners to do the job, then it means that there is something that isn't working properly within our society. Those are, I'm mentioning a few. There is people who are who do the course, who have the diploma issued or granted by the Institute of Agriculture. They are in different parts of the agriculture department and its fellow departments.
But what kind of work? Okay, we're looking at the future here. Is there some kind of research being? Is there some kind of research going on to promote, to improve this field? Let's say
yes. It is to the credit of government, the Maltese government. These last 20-25 years, that we have had improvements. The improvements have consisted, firstly, initially, under the Labour government of the 70s, we had a school of agriculture, which was there to teach agriculture to tradesmen, the actual people who work within the department at the lowest level, the lowest skilled level, because there are levels which are... And the school of agriculture lasted up till last year. There was also a higher level, which was technical, which was the College of Agriculture, which was begun under the old Labour administration and then was consolidated under the Nationalist administration. Last year, these two institutions have been amalgamated into the MCAST, Agribusiness Institute. And of course, this is we should see this as a positive development. And it's named agribusiness because agriculture is a business. It is not something which you do for a Christmas crib. You keep it in a niche. It is a business. It has to be profitable, whether financially or other benefits which accrue to society.
To the community.
Because when we say profit, the idea of profit in agriculture need not be cash. Profit, direct profit, but also the other... goods which you earn through proper agricultural practice.
Goods and which the community actually benefits from.
Benefits for the whole community. If you go by this by a road and you see beautiful flowers growing, I've already mentioned it, one would say how beautiful this area is. I hope motorists will look at the car in front of them, not the flowers. I tend to do the opposite, but nevertheless... the flowers are beautiful. So every time we look at those flowers and say how beautiful they are, every time we walk by, we drive by, say, an avenue of trees, and we say how beautiful they are, there is reduced stress, the enjoyment
but
of beauty.
But we're also speaking about healthy
and
crops.
Health of people, yes, of course. So all these... If you put them together, this is agriculture and the gains, the benefits, the profits we make from agriculture.
Yes. Nowadays, there's also the Institute of Agriculture.
Yes, I forgot to mention the Institute. The Institute of Agriculture is the higher level, the highest level we have at the moment within Malta. Why? Because in the Institute of Agriculture, we offer diplomas. You have the diploma in agriculture. We also have master's degrees in agriculture and doctorates in agriculture. Which, unfortunately, as yet, we don't have a BSc in agriculture. But the good news is that I know it's in the works. We're going to have a BSc Agric from Malta. And we are also members of CIAM. CIAM is a group of countries of the Mediterranean basin which have pulled together and created institutes of higher learning. And any Maltese citizen has the right to attend a CIAM course. So this is another opportunity open to the Maltese. Of course, within a few weeks' time, Malta thank God, will be joining the European Union as a full member, which means that we shall be participating. And we, being a small country, we have a number of benefits to make. First of all, we can always argue our case in agriculture and get the things we want, because it doesn't cost much to keep Malta quiet, literally. Secondly, because Malta, when we apply for a course, if they're going to choose 20 students, let's say they're going to choose 30 students, they are more likely, there is a tendency, an inherent tendency within people to say, look, I have a course, I have 35 applicants, let me try and get one from each member state. So the Maltese, per proportion, per capita population, we stand more chances of being of getting these opportunities. And we must make for studies abroad, yes.
Abroad. Okay, and about something about, we're talking about education, but another aspect now, let's come back to the local scale. How is education supported within this role that Malta is adopting for agriculture?
Yes. First of all, the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Ministry for Rural Affairs and Environment published the BDO site. It's a free magazine to anybody who writes to them at the information section. And it disseminates information about agriculture in general.
To the general public.
To the general public, especially to farmers. They get it. Secondly, I myself am coordinator of a scheme, of the biology hands-on farming program, whereby students who are at doing the SEC exams, whether they are in church, private or independent schools, if they're doing biology at SEC level, then they get the opportunity to come one day at the government farm. We do a program which is part theory, part practice. And over there, they are actually, I have organized a set-aside. So I'm trying to be synergetic. What am I doing? I get resources from the Ministry of Agriculture, students which are human resources from the education sector, and they do practical. And we are setting up our set-aside, which is a nature refuge. Today, we are removing weeds. Which type of weeds? The great giant reed, Arundodonax. So they are actually digging up the rhizomes. Then, when they dig up the rhizomes, we're going to dispose of the rhizomes properly. And later, plant that to local and indigenous plants, so that they will attract our insects. And in that way, students are able to, first of all, we are working as a team. Secondly, we are developing a small nature reserve. And in this way, we are demonstrating how agriculture is. The main aim I have at the government farm when I am there is I want the students to enjoy working in agriculture. Only if I enjoy it will I want to do it. So I'm sure that once one of these students...
As well as appreciation. I mean, once you work, once you're doing hands-on work on this thing, you're actually appreciating more the work of people who do it.
Especially the work of farmers who are known to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and in summer especially, at the first light of dawn, they're already at work.
Yes.
And that's very important.
That is very important.
And then they stop early, because you don't normally work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a summer's day, but then you start again at 5 and you keep on working till 9.
Yes.
It's a split system.
Well, Dr. Greg, I really thank you for your comments. I would just like to ask you if you could summarize a bit what we have just said, maybe pass on a few concluding remarks to our audience listening.
Yes, I encourage our audience to interest themselves in what's agriculture all about. Agriculture is a very, very, very wide field, which has a lot of impact on environment, and it could be either helpful to environment or unhelpful. But nowadays, government, through the Ministry of Rural Affairs and Environment, is trying to marry the two fields together to produce a synergy between both. We need agriculture, we need the environment. If both agriculture and the environment work together, we get good crops, We have nice, a beautiful countryside. We have a restabilize most of our unstable ecosystems, and hopefully our countryside will be one that is there for all to enjoy, both for us Maltese and also for those who visit us.
Okay. Well, dear friends, we have come to an ending for today as well. So, as usual, I would like to point out some websites which might be of interest to all of you. And I will try to go over them slowly, so jot these down. For the MRAE, for the Ministry for Rural Affairs and Environment, as Dr. Greg has mentioned, we've got the http://www.agricagric.gov.mt. For the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, we've got http://www.faofao.org. For the Department of Plant Health as well, we've got http://www.planthealth.gov.mt. These are some of the sites. Of course, there are more links. You are free to go in on the internet, surf the web, educate yourselves, and find out more about this very interesting subject. And that is all for today from us at Shades of Green. I thank you for being there and staying tuned. Once again, I thank Dr. Greg for his contribution. And in the meantime, I remind you, same time, same frequency. So bye-bye and take good care.